And so working more effectively is also giving priority to what moves the needle the most, what things need to be done, and also what things can't be outsourced. If you're the CEO of your company, you're the visionary. So you're not outsourcing vision to other people, but you can outsource, you know, data entry, you can outsource analytics, you can outsource marketing, you can outsource accounting, legal, you can outsource these things because they don't require you to be there, and other people are most likely going to be better at you than you are. You're listening to The Isaac Velez Show, a podcast that inspires high performers to reach new heights and be better than their best. My name is Isaac, and I'm best known for my performance coaching, elevating elite athletes and entrepreneurs to unlock their full potential. On this podcast, I sit down and share vulnerable stories on my journey, lessons that I've learned, and I bring on high performers as guests to unlock new insights and share authentic conversations about what winning really looks like. Let's dive into today's episode. We are live. Welcome back, everybody, to the Isaac Velez Show. Today, we're going to be talking about crafting a business around the life that you want. What does it mean to craft a business around the life that you want? Well, it means that you are prioritizing the life that you want, and you also love business for could be different reasons. Maybe you love the game of business. Maybe you love what business provides for you, whether that's your time back, your money, freedom. We all have different reasons, but the point is that most of us have a certain kind of life we want to live. If we map out, okay, what does our ideal week look like? We know we want to be doing this at certain times. We want to be doing this. For example, for me, my ideal life is I like working at different coffee shops, trying different food. I like to be able to travel. I also like to be able to, you know, have a nice office where I can have candles lit every day. I can have sparkling water. These are the things that I like to do. I like to go work out. I like to go walk in nature. And so when you begin to say the things that you want and reverse engineer from there, you see what you're also missing and what you can work up to. So for example, you know, if I can't find new coffee shops in my area, well, that probably means I want to go to a different area to try new things. So you want to really picture what does the ideal look like? And then you ask yourself, well, how do I get there? Because to get to a better place, you first have to aim at a better place, and to aim at a better place, you have to know what you are actually aiming at. What does the better place look like? So, crafting a business around the life that you want is about getting your time back. It's about working more effectively and using productivity. So today, we're going to be focusing on one, clarity, and two, flow state, productivity, and the psychology behind performance. So number one, clarity. The exercise that I have done that I would recommend all of you to do is reverse engineer. Take your life at 60 and work back to now. Kids, health, relationships, business, tangible things as well. What do you have? What are you doing? What have you accomplished? And so when you begin to list off these things, you want to build a roadmap from where you're at now to when you're 60. In order to get those things, to have those things that you say you have at 60 that you ideally want to have, what would it take? What kind of work and inputs does it require for you to get there? That is what clarity is going to give you, or that's where you're going to get clarity is from this exercise, because the roadmap gives you clarity that along the steps of the journey, what are you doing to get the things that you want? And so when you have clarity, right, you're an entrepreneur, you have your own business, you have clarity. How do you build your business around that kind of roadmap? Because for example, let's use my example. I want to have a family. I want to have kids. And in that roadmap, the kids mark is after 30, 32. So between the ages of 30 and 40 is the window of me wanting to have kids because I don't want to be too old. But I also don't want to be too young, and I want to enjoy the time to really focus on my business. So if I want to have kids between 30 and 40, that means that during that window, and then also 40 and 50, I'm going to have to be spending a lot of time with these kids because I want to spend time with my kids. So if I go make a business that requires me to work 80 hours a week, which I wouldn't mind doing, and I still do sometimes now work 80 hours a week. And if I want to do that then, I won't be able to enjoy time with my kids. So building a business that requires me to work 80 hours a week right when I want to have kids and enjoy my kids, that doesn't work for me. So what do I have to do now? Now I have to scale back. Now I have to figure out how to work less. Do I have to outsource? So that is where we get into the argument of craft your life's roadmap, and now you can craft your business roadmap, because your life roadmap comes first and then comes the business. Now, I will say this too. You don't necessarily also get the luxury of saying how big your business should be if you don't have scale. For example, I don't have the systems and the people in place in my business to where I can just walk away completely and have the business run on its own, because I haven't implemented the people and the systems in order to do that. So there's another thing too. If you don't have the ability of scale and leverage, or total leverage and absolute leverage, you know, you don't necessarily have that full autonomy yet. So then for me, my roadmap is getting to that point so then I can dictate how the business would look. So when it comes to doing things more effectively, when it comes to being more productive and using psychology and neuroscience, how do we optimize our business to enjoy our lives? Well, first you got to understand high income activities. In other words, what produces the most revenue for the business? But you want to switch that normal paradigm, because I say revenue on purpose because a lot of us think in revenue, but you want to operate from a perspective of profit first. How much profit will this activity generate? For example, I could go tell someone, all right, you're going to pay every person that signs up for our product $5,000. That's a high revenue activity, because now if the product costs $30, no one's going to say no to getting $5,000 just to pay $30 for something. So I'm going to get a bunch of revenue because no one in their right mind would say no to that offer. But I'm going to lose massively because my profit sucks. I mean, I'm losing like nearly $5,000. If you think profit first, you say, okay, you know, is it better sales? Is it the outbound? Is it the marketing that needs better? What activity do I need to focus on right now that's going to improve the profit of the business? Because profit also means cutting things out. So if you have a department, or if you have an area that you're spending a bunch of money in that's not yielding any results, you can cut that back or cut it out. And now, if you're making $80,000 a month, but if you take away $20,000 worth of cost, you just made $20,000 more in profit. That's $20,000 that can go into your pocket, go back into the business, can be invested into something else. So when you think profit first, you not only think, how can I maximize revenue, but you also think, how can I minimize costs? And in optimizing your business, profit, don't just think of it as money, but think of it in time. You can minimize cost. For example, if I edit all my videos, I can minimize cost by editing all my videos because I'm not paying anyone to do it. However, now I'm getting all this time taken away because I'm not, one, as quick as editing as my editors. Two, I'm not as good as them, even close. So the output is worse. So the high income activity is delegation, because the content generates better ROI for me than it does to edit my own videos. So that's also how you have to be thinking, is profit from a time perspective. If you're cutting out something that you don't have to pay for, but takes away your time, how much time are you taking away? And that's where I like this concept. And it's the ambitious hourly rate. And it's like, how much would you want to be paying yourself? So like, you could say $200, you could say $500, you could say $10,000 an hour. Obviously, if you're not making, you know, if you're $10,000 an hour, you know, like if you're not quantifying that and you're not making that, then you're building a roadmap. So like, how do I get to the point where everything I do is a $10,000 an hour per rate, or kind of rate that you can charge? And so you have to ask yourself, what are the high income, the high profit activities I can be doing, the high leverage activities? Because a business is built on leverage. It's built on, how can you get the right people? How can you eliminate unnecessary tasks? How can you automate certain things? And when you start to do that, you start getting back your time. And so working more effectively is also giving priority to what moves the needle the most, what things need to be done, and also what things can't be outsourced. If you're the CEO of your company, you're the visionary. So you're not outsourcing vision to other people, but you can outsource, you know, data entry, you can outsource analytics, you can outsource marketing, you can outsource accounting. legal, you can outsource these things because they don't require you to be there, and other people are most likely going to be better at you than you are. But if you're the CEO and you're the best qualified person to be the CEO of your own company, your own startup, you're going to be the most qualified person to have the vision for where the startup's looking to go. So you can't outsource that. Or for example, like I write my newsletters. I'm not going to outsource that to a copywriter or AI because it's really about me conveying the message. I don't outsource the podcast because it's about me behind the camera. Everything else can be outsourced. I don't script. I have bullet points, which I still do. If I did script, I would have a copywriter script it. Or if I wanted to, I could even use AI to script it. I have someone else edit the videos. You can have someone else, like a VA, manage and upload those videos and schedule the posts. Those are things you can outsource because they don't require you to do those things. So you also have to differentiate between business tasks that require you and business tasks can be delegated. And that's where we get into the Eisenhower matrix, or what I like to call the 4 D's of decision making. And that's you do, you delegate, you delete, you decide, you delegate, and you delete. And a lot of tasks should be in that delegate box. A lot of tasks should be. And obviously, the more and more money your business generates, meaning the more value you provide to the marketplace, the more and more you want to delegate. Because delegation allows you to scale. Without delegation, it's hard to scale because you have finite time application. But when you bring on more people, you have now more time to work with. Therefore, you have more leverage. So going back to the whole argument, just building a life around the business or building a business around the life that you want is really about efficiency, but it's really about effectiveness. And so oftentimes, especially at the start when you're testing new things, you don't have the luxury of just not doing anything or having leverage because you might not have the resources for it. But what you can do is you can start building a roadmap and seeing what you can work with now. There's nothing wrong with not having the things you need. Just figure out how you're going to get them. And so that's something that, you know, for example, I'm working on right now is we're adapting. I think in terms of four, because of the rule of four that I have, again, just based on my favorite number, just something that I built for myself, a nice little system. We're building out our new 4-year vision starting for Q1 of 2024 to Q1 of 2028. And so it's like over the next 4 years, what are our goals? And so I have it in the different areas of the business. So I have client acquisition, I have client success, I have company success, and then I have company management. In other words, HR, financials. And so it's like, what does the business need to look like from starting point? So I write down, okay, where's the business at right now? Right, Q1 2024. I think we just finished it with March. And then what does it look like? Or what do I want it to look like in Q1 of 2028? And then in between those, every quarter, what are my milestones of getting there? How do I know I'm on track? Because I sucked at this in the past. Study your metrics, study your KPIs. Because how do you know you're improving if you're not measuring anything? Like if you're trying to lose weight and you're not stepping on the scale on a daily basis or a weekly basis, how do you actually know you're losing weight? Because when I was losing weight and I was just serious on cutting, I every day was on that scale. And every week I would take an average and I would say, okay, am I down? I'm down 2 pounds. I'm down a pound and a half. I'm down 0.7 pounds. Because you really know if you're making progress or not. But if you're just throwing darts at a board hoping it sticks, that's not going to be the most effective use of our time. So also make sure that you're at a point where you can track everything that you're doing. Because I'm starting to do that a whole lot more now. That's, you know, across like conversions on ads. It's also across website traffic. It's across where people are coming from. When you know when things are working, like it's hard to know what's working if you're not measuring things because you don't actually know what's working the most. Like, for example, if you have leads coming into your business from every social media platform and you're signing on 10 new clients a month, but you have no idea where they're coming from, if you spent twice as much time on, let's say it's Instagram that's getting you all the clients, you could be having theoretically twice as many clients. Now, let's say law of diminishing returns. Even if you had 1.5 times more clients sign up because you focused on the right platform, that's still half of your client base every single month. So if each client has, you know, upfront cash collected value of 2,000, and because you focused on the right platform, you're now making an extra $10,000 a month. That's $10,000 a month on more ads, on your business, on hiring more people, on giving raises to great employees. So you really want to think about high ROI activities. And so the way that I would best describe that is track things and then double down on the winners, double down on what's working, double down on what's actually making that change. Because oftentimes as entrepreneurs, we're a little nitpicky and we just try to fix everything, but not everything needs to be fixed. And sometimes we just need to add more fuel to the right fire. That's going to do it for me today. Again, build the business around the life that you want by having clarity, by being effective, and by seeing what high ROI profit returning activities you can be doing and the activities that you need to start delegating. I will see you all in the next episode of the Isaac Velez Show. Fortune favors the bold. That concludes today's episode of the Isaac Velez Show. If you gained any value from today, we'd be grateful if you share the episode and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you were looking to get more involved with us, visit our website, www.isaacantoniovelez.com, and follow us on Instagram for daily content. See you in the next episode.